So now I'm here with Cracker the Clown, who was the conductor of the epic wax play scene. So many different... I hear that you use actual crayons to color the wax. Is that true?
That is true. All colors. Today we want Christmas colors, so I start with Christmas colors.
That's right. Red and green.
Red and green. And actually, I had other colors, but they just never really came out, so... I set with red and green and purple.
Now, okay, so it looked really hot. Like, the girls were really screaming in pain even. Like, you had to take a break so that they
of
could,
course.
Like, cool down.
Right. You have to let them get their head space back. That's why, like I was telling you in that last interview, where they call yellow on me, but they don't ever call red. Very rare. So that's what they're doing. They're screaming, so you're letting them get their head space back together.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's got to be intense.
Yeah, I think so.
But Rusty, like, wanted to do, like, it was her idea that we do the scene.
Right, exactly. It was. You know, she just knew that's what I do. So she volunteered me.
Yeah. So I was, you're from where in the South exactly?
Alabama.
Okay, so at the S&M space in Alabama, they wouldn't let you actually touch someone, which is why you got into wax play.
Right. No impact. Could not have impact play, meaning like flogging, spanking, caning, nothing. No impact.
So are there other kinds of no impact BDSM play?
Sure. Like zippers, you know.
Zippers.
Zippers.
Oh, and clothespins, is that it?
Right.
Yes.
Clothespins that have a string attached to them. So usually my zippers go from anywhere from eight to like 24 zippers. And you pull off 24 zippers at one time, those girls are going to scream.
Okay, let's tell everyone what a zipper is, because I don't think most people know.
Okay,
I think people think of a clothespin and they think one clothespin maybe on a person.
Right. What a zipper is a zipper is a clothespin attached to other clothespins by string. So instead of just having one clothespin, you have anywhere from, like I said, 8 to 24 on a string.
And then you rip them off all at once.
You can do it one at a time, be very sadistic, pow, 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 or you can go pow, 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 pow.
Like a machine gun.
Yeah.
And it's not painful so much. I mean, it's a little bit painful to have them clipped on there, but eventually you get used to it, right?
Right. What it is, when you put them on, you're cutting off blood circulation. So when you're pulling them off, all of a sudden that blood is rushing back to that spot. That's what makes it painful.
Now that really stings.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Cool. So I noticed that you were checking in with the girls every now and then. You'd, like, put your hand on their chest.
Right. I was feeling the temperature of the wax on their body and checking in, making sure they were okay. Because if you notice, they were really uncomfortable, especially Rusky at first. But after a while, they tone down, they get used to it, and they like it.
So she started laughing like crazy.
That's how she interprets pain. She laughs. She laughs hysterically, like it freaks people out. But I've gotten her from laughing to crying.
Oh, yeah? Wow.
And I'm
so she'll like laugh and then cry?
Usually just laughing. She told me that when I made her cry, I was only the second person that ever made her cry. And she didn't like the first time because the person did not do what they call aftercare. I sat there.
Hugs and cuddles.
Yes, I sat there and I hugged her and cuddled her and stroked her head for an hour.
That's nice. She told me about that. She liked that.
Yeah, she loved that.
So tell me more about, like, the connection between you and your submissive and, like, how you read their energy and make them feel good through pain.
Oh, my God, that's a long story.
I know, it's a hard question,
No, it's not hard. I have a degree in psychology. I have an undergrad degree in psychology. I have a master's in counseling. I've been playing with bodies probably for about 20 years. I'm a massage therapist, so, I mean, the common...
So you actually know the answer to this question. Good.
Yes.
So, connection and...
Trust.
And, but you're, like, making someone feel good through pain.
Exactly. But not, well, not everyone can do that. Not everyone can process pain. Some people just are turned off by it. Some people love it, like Rusty and Trix. They love it. You know, so that's the kind of people I hang out with. If we were a couple or a couple or whatever, you know one thing. I'm never going to a bar and pick a girl up at a bar.
Why is that?
I have no interest in a vanilla girl.
And vanilla, you mean like someone who has normal sex.
Right.
Like normal, whatever,
right,
sweet
right,
and cuddly
right.
And la, 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 la.
Yeah. Missionary.
Yeah.
Boring.
Well, it's boring sometimes for some people.
Right. And I mean,
like, I quite like missionary, but it's about variety.
Yeah. Right, right. And I mean, I'm not saying I always have to have kinky sex, but there's going to be some type of at least domination submission in any sex of mine.
Does it sometimes switch back and forth, or do you usually have fairly well-defined roles?
I personally have very defined roles. Mm-hmm. But like I told you last time, I started off as a
submissive.
As a submissive.
And that's how you learned how to do it.
Right.
Are there certain things that you like and don't like, personally?
Sure. I mean, we all have limits. The running joke for me, the only limit I have is if you ask me to kill you.
Oh, yeah, that's
now,
you're a
Now, if you want
no
me to
that.
Kill you, we
no.
need to negotiate. But, no, seriously, there's sure. I don't care for scat. You know what scat is?
It's poop.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care for scat. I don't really care for bestiality, meaning animals.
I think something's happening in the dining room. We'll continue this.
This is sex. Everyone gets what they want. This is sexploration.
Explore. Play.
This is Sexploration with Monica.
Sex is proof that God loves us and wants us to have fun.
Sexploration with Monica on FCCFreeRadio.com.
Okay, so we're here at the Supper Club Bondage Dinner, and a very interesting thing just happened. I was right in the middle of an interview with Cracker the Clown, and one of the Supper Club staff just came and get me, and it was like, something's going wrong, something bad is happening. And so I, of course, think it's an emergency, and immediately, like, turn off the microphone and run into the dance floor room. And you were here, Professor Dandy. What
yes,
exactly was going on here?
Well, the top gentleman and the woman, the submissive, were engaging in a fully consensual, if not very intense, kind of flogging, spanking scene. And it escalated to a very intense, you know.
And she was screaming?
Yeah, she was screaming, and he was lots of expletives and cursing.
And he was cursing at her, you fucking bitch.
And he was flogging her with, like, holding the flogger with two hands. And, I mean, he's a big fucking guy, and she's a little kind of very skinny gal, so it looked visually looked very intense, you know. And she was laughing hysterically and loving it, and he was totally getting into it, and it just really started to trigger. I could sense the energy in the room start to get really high, and like kind of like, you know, you could crackling energy.
Right.
And the staff, I was sensing the staff were starting to like freak out a little
they
bit before
afraid,
they came
yeah.
up. And when he came up to me, he's like, "This isn't okay." The staff is totally freaking out. And so I just walked right up to the, you know, the top, and I said, "Hey, this scene's getting way too intense for these people." He's like, "Oh, okay." And boom, cooled it off immediately.
Right, right. And that's when I came in, and then they were just like hugging and like touch, you know. And then I talked to the girl whose name is Ender Silence, and she's like, "I'm so high. I feel so amazing right now. I'm like totally high on endorphins. It's the best high."
Yeah, I mean, she was. Could barely articulate words. She was so
totally.
High on endorphins.
Totally.
She was laughing. Like, yeah. And that was really great of you, though, to do an outro so that people could have some sort of context about what they just experienced.
Well, I think because our culture is all about, like, women not having power, and, like, many women don't feel powerful when it comes to sexuality, and that they have to always be submissive, that when a woman is really owning her submission and really, like, says yes to pain and something that, like, a woman maybe wouldn't do, you know, like, "Oh, I'm not going to do that. That seems awful and scary." Then they start to really project and feel afraid for her. And, like, that's what happened. Like, the Supper Club staff, he was, he was really afraid for her.
Yeah, they were freaking out.
You know, and I want everyone to know that what we're doing is safe and consensual. I mean, that's the point, right?
Yeah, I mean, they were pre-negotiated. I mean, I think the issue here was that the patrons, being unfamiliar with this sort of, you know, activity, they don't have any context to understand what they're experiencing, and the experience will start to trigger them on a visceral level. As
it got scary.
Yeah, and then the people just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, you know.
Is she okay? Is she okay? Yeah.
And you know, I mean, in most respects, the submissives in these sorts of scenarios are the ones in control. They're the ones with the power. You know,
right, because any time they could end the whole thing just by saying red.
Yeah, but if you're just like a regular person that's not really familiar with this, so you're going to look at it and go, oh my God, he's beating that poor woman up. That's what it looks like. I mean,
yeah, and she's totally smiling. Okay. And
she's walking
people
on cloud right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, it's a great, you know, social experiment there.
Yes, yes.
It went quite well with the sort of the baked apple with the kind of the pastry and the ice cream on top.
Yes.
It was a really lovely compliment. A pairing.
Yeah, the dessert is really
pairing.
Fantastic.
Better than a port. And,
yes, as we're enjoying a dessert, a slave is getting the crap beaten out of her.
Yeah.
And then is in this beautiful meditative space and everyone is freaking out. It's really kind of poetic.
Just another night here at the Supper Club with Monica.
Okay, so we're going to finish our interview with Cracker the Clown now. We had kind of an interesting interruption when Casey was being spanked by... Big Red? Was that Big Red?
Yes, that was Big Red.
So there was a big ruckus because everyone got scared for Casey.
Exactly. But Casey processes pain just like Rusky. She laughs hysterically to the point that if you're vanilla, you never see anything like that, it'll scare the shit out of you.
They were scared for her. They were like, oh my God, it's an emergency. Come get Monica.
And she didn't want to quit.
Yeah, she didn't want to quit. That's funny. And then I was like, hey, how you feeling? She's like, I'm thinking is bad.
I know. I played with it plenty of times.
So she knows Big Red really well.
Oh, yeah.
And they've played together millions of times.
There's a bunch of us that are really close, and we all play with each other.
And so she was like, yeah, this is my friend. I'm being spanked by him. It's no big deal.
Right. I mean, she has a dominant or a master, whatever you want to call the guy that was taking pictures, Ryan.
Oh, yeah, retro time.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So they have an open relationship.
So she plays with a lot of different people, and she just really enjoys pain, and spankings are one of her favorite things.
One of the favorites.
Interesting. Yes. It was interesting to watch how people reacted, like how they projected their feelings of fear onto her. And they were like, she's not okay.
Right.
Save her.
Right.
You know.
But see, that's so wrong. Remember when I was telling you about red, yellow, green? Yellow means slow down, let them get their head space back. Doesn't mean stop. You stop, that really screws them up.
Oh, because it's like a wave.
Right.
It's like an arc. You have a full scene.
Exactly.
So she probably feels a little bit like, whoa.
Yeah, jerked down the scene.
Right. Right. Yeah. And so it was interesting when I was interacting with her. Like, she felt a little bit like she wasn't all kind of...
She's not there.
Yeah, she wasn't totally there.
It's called subspace.
And it's like a no-mind space.
Exactly.
Kind of like meditating, but you get there via pain.
Right, exactly.
Interesting. So what other things have you learned about the connection between the body and consciousness in your time working with BDSM and massage?
Can you repeat that? I didn't quite hear.
Oh, so there's a connection between BDSM and consciousness.
Right.
And the body.
And subconscious.
And the, right. and so how? What sort of things have you learned about... You know, the mind and the body and the connection between the two of them.
The mind and body is an amazing thing. You just, like, we always watch us. I mean, when we play, we don't start off hard. We let the mind and the body get in unison with each other. And once it gets in unison, as long as you are the type of person that enjoys pain, the more dopamine, more adrenaline's flowing into the blood. And higher, then you hear Casey, because I'm high as hell.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. She's completely high on endorphins.
Yes, exactly.
And couldn't even talk.
No.
And she's usually very articulate
right.
and totally sweet and really
right.
together
right.
and with it. And she was like on planet something else.
Yeah, she was. And lots of times, not tonight, but lots of times when we really have good wax scenes, I'll end up having to carry the girls off in my arms. They're
right.
so out of it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But no, they were. They didn't want to get off of that table. That's for sure.
No. No.
Now, it's sort of like a massage, only it's a very, very intense massage.
Exactly. But it's the same thing with massage. If you're doing deep tissue and everything like that, you've got to warm the body up. You got to get those muscles going. You got to get the blood flowing. You know, you can't just go well.
You can't just crank on somebody.
No, you can't just go with elbows. take this, damn it. No, no.
Right, because then it's going to really hurt,
oh,
and they'll
yeah.
tense up and maybe
right.
get a muscle spasm
right,
or something.
Exactly.
Right, or they'll call a safe word and need some hot cocoa.
No, not for me.
Of course, of course. So when you're doing a scene like with Rusky and Strix where you have a lot of sensation, a lot of pain even,
mm-hmm.
like how do you make sure that it's good pain?
You just read their body. You keep talking to them. You saw where I was checking in with them, feeling their body, feeling the temperature. You ask them, you know, how do you feel? You know, what color do you see, whore? What color do you see?
You call him a whore?
Right. Not slut. Y'all are wrong about that.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
That's
what's the difference between a whore and a slut?
Nothing. Just that the whore is my word.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No different. Same loving word.
Right, exactly.
You know, BDSM is very similar to what's good in the vanilla world is bad. So it's almost opposite. What's
right, if you call someone a whore in the vanilla world, they're going to be like, what are you calling a whore?
Yeah.
yeah.
That or they're going to slap you.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
But in the kinky world, you call them a whore or a slut or whatever, they go, ooh.
That's right.
I like that. Yeah, you
I know,
whore.
It's funny. I like how, and sometimes some people can call me a whore in a good way.
Right.
And then sometimes someone can call me a whore in a bad way.
I never use that word derogatory. Never.
Right.
Because, I mean, if I'm really mad at you, I'm going to call you a cunt.
But cunts are nice.
But see, not to me.
No, but they are nice.
I know they are nice,
cunts
but
are
not,
beautiful.
Not in my world.
Cunts
nah.
are nice. Oh, they're
no.
so pretty.
Red.
Oh.
Red.
He's safe wording on my radio show right now. Awesome.
Red.
I do quite like them, though. You know,
I
see
know.
You next Tuesday.
Okay.
Hello.
Yeah.
Right, you know, see you. Okay. Anyway.
I got you.
So tell us more about, like, how we can learn about safer BDSM play. Something that if you were just starting out, you could, you know, go to a website or something.
There's some good websites. One of the best books I ever read on the very beginning is a book called Give Me the Thorns, Screw the Roses.
Right.
That's one of the best books. There's lots. Jay Wiseman has an SM 101 book that's decent. Surely now that the internet's around, there's plenty of stuff to go online. You just have to be careful, like anything. You know, there's a lot of BS out there.
Look out for what?
People saying.
Like, how would you know if you don't know what you're doing?
You need to get a mentor. You need to get someone that's your friend. And that doesn't mean you have sex with that person. That means they are your true mentor. You know, that you can depend on, you know, turn to and ask questions. I mean, I over the years, I've probably mentored, I don't know, dozens of submissives and dominants. You know, like I said, I start out being submissive. You know.
And you say that you're not necessarily having a sexual relationship with this person, but you just want someone that you make sure that you trust.
Right, exactly. That's the thing. Trust is a whole, that's two things in this world, or at least in the BDSM world. Trust, communication.
I think that's pretty important in any relationship.
I know, but I think
but it's even more important
yeah.
when there's pain involved.
Exactly. You know, you better have that communication. You better be able to, for either one, for the submissive to feel comfortable enough to say, hey, this is enough, stop, you know. And at the same time, the dominant enough to be able to read, saying, especially when, like, Casey was in the altered state of mind. She couldn't read herself. You know, that's another reason I personally do not like to play with any kind of drugs or any kind, especially alcohol. You will never see me drink. Yeah, now I'll drink after I play all day long, but before, no, never. Especially for the submissive, guess what alcohol does? It dulls.
It numbs you.
It numbs you, dulls pain. So, you know, you may wake up the next morning and really be in serious trouble.
Oh, like you could actually be injured. Like you could have like internal injuries. Breathe. Like you could even rupture something.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Whoa.
See.
Safety third.
That's what we say. You know, I'm a fire performer, so that's our favorite thing. Safety third. You know.
Yeah, you know, because there's other things other than safety, but safety's right up there.
Oh,
with
it
the,
is.
You know,
it is. Especially with fire. Fire gives you no second chance.
That's right. That's right. If you screw up with fire, it'll take.
That's it.
You know?
Yeah, that is it. And that's what I want to do tonight. Can I play with fire outside?
Oh, I think you could probably do it outside. It's outside, right?
I think so.
That's in the outside.
I brought my fire
just
shit.
Be careful.
Oh, I will.
Safety
I will.
Third. Maybe even second.
No, maybe first.
Maybe, okay. Yes, first.
It is in
okay,
my world.
Good. All right. Thank you, Cracker.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so here's the truth. It's the night before Christmas, and I am huddled under a blanket at someone else's house, and they're on vacation. So I'm going to open the door to the theater of radio right now. I'm professionally homeless so that I can do this sex talk show. Basically, I don't make any money on the show, so I live in other people's houses when they're on vacation. So instead of having, you know, a professional recording studio, I use Skype and a little handheld recorder, and I'm actually underneath the blankets in someone else's bed right now by myself, you know, just talking into my little microphone. But the sound quality is really good, right? Okay, so the sound quality of this next interview is really not that good. I'm so sorry, but it's so important that you hear Casey's side of the story, what her experience was like with that really intense spanking scene where everyone wanted to save her from this big bad BDSM guy, right? And you'll hear how her experience was intensified by everyone else's reaction to her and the fear and the intensity of the language and the intensity of the blows and just exactly how she felt. And she really had a positive and interesting experience, but, you know, she really definitely felt like, wow, he's really hitting me hard and he's yelling things at me that ordinarily I wouldn't like. So it actually is going to sound a little bit like I'm underwater, and I'm so sorry. It's because I had to use Skype and I was in a living room and the sound quality was really bad, but it's the night before Christmas and I really don't have time to do it again. And she's basically at work and only had a certain amount of time for her break. And so we had to do it right now. And I have to get the piece into the radio station. So anyway, I ordinarily wouldn't submit it with this kind of quality, but it's such a good interview. And hopefully you can just ignore that it sounds like I'm underwater. So anyway, dear listener, thanks for listening. And let's go to our call now with Casey.
So I just wanted to ask you a couple of questions about your experience of that very festive, consensual spanking scene at the Supper Club bondage dinner. What was happening for you in that moment?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I am an exhibitionist. I love playing in front of people and performing in crowds. And so when the crowd starts, I kind of feed off the energy of other people. When I feel like the crowd is kind of paying attention and kind of getting into it, and it's kind of a shocked feeling. It's almost like I don't even feel the pain anymore. When I play, the harder I get hit, the more I laugh. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of shocking to people. Like, I get a lot of, oh my gosh, why is she laughing? Like, what is going on?
Right.
Right? Like, I think it's really funny. So I don't know. I get more into it and more into it, and it was just amazing, and I got totally, totally into it that night, everyone, and then we got stalked, which usually I, you know, if a scene of mine gets interrupted or anything, I kind of lose my focus really quickly, and it's kind of done for me.
Uh-huh.
So our scene did get stopped, but it was because we were scaring people.
Yeah, totally.
Which was the perfect end to the scene, because it's kind of like what I aim for, to shock and awe, and it was awesome. It was just all around awesome. People coming up to me afterwards, can I take a picture of your butt?
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I had a few people come up to me and want to take pictures, and they were just shocked, and some girls in the crowd were like, oh, my God, don't do that to me. Please.
Oh, totally. Exactly.
Yeah.
So what I heard from people is just that, you know, since you're, like, this little slender girl and, like, he's this big burly dude and he's just wailing away at your butt and, you know, like, saying all that stuff, you know, which it would be a term of endearment to some people, but to some other people it would be an insult, you know what I mean? And so, like, they were like, oh, my God, is she okay? And, like, people were really starting to get, like, freaked out, and, like, the energy in the room was like, oh, you know what I mean? And, like, so I come in, and I'm like, what's going on?
And it's, yeah, which I loved.
Right? And it's like you... Yeah. You know, and Red doing this consensual spanking scene, and I was kind of like, really, that was the problem? What's going on there? But then the other thing is like for other people, it was just so, you know, intense.
Yeah, and it was. It was definitely intense, and I've never really, the play partners I've had, they've never really talked to me like that. Like, I've never really been, I don't know if you'd call it degradation or anything, but it was kind of, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you dirty, blah, 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 you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, exactly. If someone really says that to you in a nice way, it's cool, but yeah.
Yeah, so it was really interesting. It almost made me fight harder. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, you think that? Then fine, watch how much I can take. And, oh, you know, much of a little bitch I am.
You're like, check out this power here. Well, cool.
It was very interesting, though. And afterwards, oh, my gosh, the high. I couldn't wipe that goofy grin off my face.
It was so great. Well, I remember I was trying to talk to you at Supper Club, and I was like, well, how do you feel? And you're like, words, brain, not working. And you're just,
yeah, that was pretty
smile.
Much it. Yeah, my brain doesn't really work after something like that. It's just, it's a very pure, calm feeling. Like, my brain just shuts off, my body does its thing, lets it ride the little high, just kind of feeling it. And I like to push my body to see what it can do.
Mm-hmm.
So after something like that, like, it's very, like, personal. Like, you feel like you know yourself a little bit more.
Mm.
Like, you know, it's almost like your mind and your body they learn more about each other, because your mind can learn what your body can take and your body can learn what your mind can take. It's interesting. At least that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, totally. Oh, I wanted to ask you about the endorphins.
Oh, yes. The endorphins go running through your entire body, and it's like no other high you've ever had before. It's almost like an adrenaline rush, for sure, and with, like, a hit of some kind of ecstasy type of thing.
Right,
like,
but it's totally natural, obviously.
Oh, yeah, completely natural. Like, it doesn't make you feel toxic or contaminated, because it's your own body's high. Like it's natural, like it's supposed to happen.
Right. Well, cool. Thank you so much, Casey. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And thanks for doing the interview today. I appreciate it. Okay,
yeah,
big kisses.
Okay, sexy sexploration with Monica listener. Can you tell we're back under the covers? There's no echo. That is two blankets of echo dampening power. So I'm going to send you back to the Supper Club bondage dinner that night. We're going to interview bondage rigger Rick Umbaugh. He's actually leaving the San Francisco kink bubble and moving to Chicago.
I'm sorry, what did you just say?
I said I am so going to miss this place when I move to Illinois.
I know. Do they have this in Illinois? Maybe in Chicago, right?
Yeah, maybe in Chicago. I mean, I've already made contacts in Chicago, and I'm friends with the Leather Archives and Museum, which is it's a bunch of gay guys who are into the scene who are trying to curate, you know, stuff from the past, and I have some stuff to give them.
You've been doing this for a while.
I've been doing this for a while.
We're talking with Rick Umbaugh. He is a psychology writer, and he specializes in SM, mostly because he's kinky.
Yes, I'm kinky. And I'm getting
and
worse every year.
Do you self-identify as a sadist?
Oh, yeah. I used to get up when I was teaching. I have a friend who teaches basic psychology, and he would call me in to do his sex section. And I would get up there, and the first thing I'd say is, hi, I'm Rick Umbaugh, and I'm a sadist.
And then what would people's reaction be?
Their jaws would open up.
They'd be like, eek! Oh,
we're in the same room. He's actually admitting it.
Actually, they were just shocked that somebody, shocked somebody so it would admit it. But the whole idea was to get their attention, one, and to get them so they would talk about their own, you know, because then I would start talking about their sex fantasies and try to get them to understand that you have to examine yourself to be good at sex. Most people who are lousy at sex is because they don't think about what they want.
And they don't feel the sensations on their body or know what they want.
I think they just don't understand the sensations that their body's giving them. I think that's...
You really have to understand them. I think you just have to feel them.
Okay.
I mean, can you understand them, really?
Well, you understand them in your body. It's
okay.
Like you didn't have an orgasm the first time you played with yourself, did you?
I don't know. No. I know I didn't. I mean, I'm saying I didn't have an orgasm the first time I played with myself, but I don't even remember the first time I played with myself. Okay. I mean, it's like a kid. You're like,
I know.
What's going on down there?
Right.
I mean, not that it doesn't even, it's not like masturbation, because you're just like checking things out.
You have to learn how to have an orgasm.
Totally.
It's a learned behavior, and I can't convince people of that. I'm trying to convince people of that. You're trying to convince people of that.
I am.
Yes, you are. You know, although, anyway. That no thing. You did that no thing again tonight.
No. Oh, yeah. Telling people how to say no so they can fully say yes.
All right. I guess so.
Yes.
All right.
That way you can be like, do I want this? Yes or no. And that way you can be free to say yes or no, depending on what you want.
I've never had trouble saying no, so I guess.
Well, you're a man. And men are like told not they don't they shouldn't be saying no anyway. They should always be sexually available.
That's right. Precisely. And I'm capable of saying no.
I think it's important. It's a good skill.
Oh, I agree. Oh, it is a good skill. I have no problem with it. I mean, it's just, you did it again. That's all. It was just a little odd to me.
Well, that and we had to stall because the trapeze artist wasn't ready.
Ah.
But also, I think it's important for people to say yes and no.
By the way, I loved your elves.
Aren't they great?
They were wonderful. And the singer, I mean, Tickle is really, she's good.
Yeah.
She's good, you know.
I was shocked. Actually, she's like, actually, we're just so cute that the singing and dancing doesn't matter. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, whatever. And then she was like an amazing singer.
Yes, she was. And she didn't do that song the way it's usually done. People usually overdo the sexual things instead of just letting the song tell its own story, you know.
Well, she's just so cute and sexy without trying.
Yes, she is cute and sexy. This was a great night. I mean, a lot of stuff got done tonight.
Did you notice like the scene got so intense between Big Red and Casey that everyone was like, they came to get me. They're like, Monica, everything's not okay. I'm like in the middle of an interview. I'm like, oh my God, what's happening? I'm like, oh, someone's getting a spanking. Really? That's it? Okay.
That was a
Let's talk about that.
That was a pretty serious spanking. That's the kind of spanking that you don't take pictures of because you don't want anybody finding, because it might take you to court.
Really?
There was a situation that happened in New York City when the anti-SM sex prosecutor was still prosecuting. A guy had videotaped a whole lot of caning scenes. He was into canes.
And let's talk about a caning, because what's a cane?
A cane is a piece of rattan. It's about...
It's a stick.
It's a stick. Yeah, rattan is actually... It's
bamboo, kind of.
Yeah, it's like bamboo. It's actually a grass, but not a stick.
A very hard grass.
Yeah, a very hard grass. And it can go everything from a quarter inch thick to... I have one that's like 3/4 inch thick. And what it does is cuts into the skin. And the marks from a good caning look like railroad tracks. There's a mark on either side, and then there's a red part in the middle. And it can get pretty intense. Well, this guy was pretty intense with it, right? And he made videotapes.
Oh.
This was right around 2001, I think, just offhand. Anyway, so what happened is he had a lover. Anyway, he got one of those things where the relationships get muddied, and she turned him in. So they raided his house and found all these videotapes. Right. Well, this is right around the time of the Jovanovic case, which was a case of an idiot who met a woman online and played with her, and then she came and said that it was not consensual, and he went to jail and the whole bit.
Why are you calling him an idiot?
He's an idiot because he was, first of all, he wasn't a very good dom. Second of all, because he didn't really check this woman. I have made the same mistake myself. So it's
what do you mean? Like he just didn't negotiate
just
the scene. He didn't
he
check her for
he
healthy psychology.
Yes, that's it. The second.
He didn't check her for healthy psychology.
That's right. He didn't realize. And the woman finally got off because something happened and they threw the trial out. She would have had to go back to trial. They actually, her grandmother actually was going to get on the stand saying this woman is a pathological liar.
Oh.
Right. And that would have killed the case right there. Anyway, the woman who prosecuted that got involved with the NCSF, the National Coalition for Sexual Freedom, which has a big thing to help people who get into legal trouble. And so what Hammond is, she called in the National Coalition for Sexual Freedom and started showing these.
The National Coalition for Sexual Freedom.
That's right.
Just in case you want to Google it.
Yes, in case. Yeah, it's NCSFFREEDOM.org. Yeah, there's another NCSF. Anyway, so they showed the tapes to the woman who was representing the NCSF, and she said, well, so?
Right, if it's consensual, even if it's painful and caning and crazy.
It's not so much that as it's ugly. It's really ugly when it happens. And the bruises are... But some people get off on that. I get off on it sometimes. You know.
Like some people like to have a memento.
Absolutely. And
look at this. I have Roper.
Oh, you do? Still yeah. For me? Still?
It was only yesterday.
Yeah, I know. Oh, well, that's nice. I'm happy.
Something to remember
you. Something to remember me by.
Yes. Rick is moving to Chicago in just a few days on Monday.
Monday, yeah. I'm taking a train. It's actually St. Charles, which is about 40 minutes west. Anyway, well, Casey's going to have a memory for about a week.
Yeah, when she sits down.
Yeah, when she sits down. Some of those hematomas are going to last a week.
Okay. Bruises, that's a big word for bruises.
Yeah, and anyway, when the woman from NCSF shrugged her shoulders at this thing, the prosecutor went, I don't think any person should have the right to do this to any other person.
Well, if they want to do it.
I know that, but she didn't grasp that. And she got fired.
Oh, the prosecutor got fired.
The prosecutor got fired eventually because Morgenthau was just pissed off at her. She'd caused too much trouble.
Well, let's segue this into a conversation about fear.
All right, fine.
Like, clearly the prosecutor was afraid, and the people, you know, in the audience who were nervous about Casey were afraid. They were afraid for her.
You know, we have nothing to fear but fear itself, Roosevelt's thing.
Well, that's true. I mean, I think it's healthy to be afraid.
That's what's going on now. Oh, it's healthy to be afraid. Oh, absolutely.
But it's not healthy to let your fear control you.
That's right. Courage is knowing you're afraid and doing it anyway.
Well, in addition
like
to the fact...
you did yesterday.
Well, I wasn't afraid, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
I know,
it's
that
like
I, understand.
I invite a bunch of people to the supper club and, hey, could we tie me up, please? Because I'd like a couple of photos.
Yeah, right. Precisely. Well, no, that's...
I've never been tied... I mean, I've never been really tied up before. Yep. I know it's funny. I've been doing a bondage dinner for a while, but... You know, I'm always busy recording.
Yeah, right. Well, and also, you know, I mean, you have to work your way into it. You can't just plunge into it. That's the problem a lot of people do.
You have to find someone you trust.
And you have to find someone you trust. That's why this is so powerful. Because what happens is you trust the person. You overcome their fear. They do the thing that you're scared of.
And then
you survive and you're going, there is a thing about... Very often we're most turned on by the things we're most afraid of. Not always true, but close enough. And the thing is, you can then expand this to things like...
Well, if it's an autonomic nervous system response that you're looking for, fear is an autonomic nervous system response, and it is quite stimulating.
Yeah.
And if you can connect it erotically...
Yeah, right. Well, one of the
then
things
you could be orgasmic because of fear, if that's what you're into.
One of the things I really like is to scare people. I enjoy that. I like watching their fear because that's actually the beginning of an orgasm in a lot of times. Yeah, because what happens is it gets your energy and your emotions going, right? And that's what an orgasm is. It's just an explosion of emotion, you know? And so I like to scare people, and some people like to be scared. But on the other hand, I know you don't particularly like getting scared, so I don't scare you.
Well, roller coasters and that sort of thing, it's just not my thing.
I know that.
And I think it's because of my, like, just the way I was raised. I was always raised to never show fear. So instead of experiencing my fear, yeah. I was always, like, clamping down on it. And so,
yeah,
like,
right.
Being on a roller coaster, I don't actually feel good. I just feel kind of tense and nauseous.
Yeah, well, there's nothing worse than shoving an emotion down.
Exactly.
And the thing is that's what makes you crazy. Shoving enough emotions down, it gets in there and it kind of... gets, you know, like the gunk in an engine?
Yes.
It's a lot like that.
You need some fluid.
That's right. You need fluid emotions. And the thing is that everybody I know who's been to therapy, that's the first thing that they do. That's
right.
The thing that gets them going so they can finally examine their life.
But I think it's okay to say no to something you're afraid of. But
absolutely.
I think it's important to like be like, oh, I am afraid of that. That's interesting.
No,
and then look at it.
I am afraid of that. No, I'm afraid of that is a perfectly valid response. But then someone coming along and saying, well, maybe I can make you not afraid of it is another valid response. My problem
as
is...
As long as you trust that person.
As long as you... Yes, you have to have trust. That's what this is based on. The whole consent thing, the whole... It's all trust. It's all about, I trust you. And that's what makes it so powerful. That's why people fall in love in BDSM a lot quicker. And they really do. I mean...
Yeah. And people fall in love after intense experiences like car crashes and terrorist attacks.
Absolutely. They do. Some of them do. I mean, it depends on where you are, you know.
And in all of those Hollywood movies, they have this intense experience and then bam, they're in love.
I guess so. I don't trust Hollywood movies because they obey different set of rules in real life.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
And that kind of thing. But no, I mean, the thing is with fear is it's just... I've had so much in my life that I should be afraid of. And there's so many times I've tested myself that when I run into someone who just runs from everything, the unexamined life is the greatest sin, Socrates, you know.
Right. And it's you who's choosing to let fear run your life. That's no fun.
And particularly when it's based on something I consider basically irrational. You know, like I'm afraid because such and such is a boy. I'm afraid because such and such is black. I'm afraid because such and such is a girl.
Right. And if you're just driven by fear and it's not even about somebody else's opinion, it's about what you choose. Do you want to be afraid of everything or do you want to have fun? What kinds of experiences do you want to have? We'll talk more about fear getting in the way of connecting with others and authenticity and the importance of boundaries. Let's skip over to another kinky holiday party. It's Hoobalation at Kinky Salon. So everyone's decked out in festive, sexy costumes, Whos and Grinches, sexy reindeer, absurdist clowns, elves, Santas, muff-wearing hoo-hoos. And we're talking about how to be a slut and the importance of only doing what you want.
Or you might really like them. Yes, exactly. Adored. And you might get adored.
He wanted just to sit there and adore me.
He wanted just to sit and adore you? Tell me
yes.
More about this.
I met him tonight, and all he wanted to do was adore me. And he said the whole reason he even stopped is because I smiled.
Well, the power of a smile is compelling.
Oh, yeah, it compels a lot of things for me.
Well, let's talk about, like, how making connections and being open to connections goes deep for you, not just in a, you know, hey, how are you? But also when you're able to say yes, how being fully able to say yes helps you make connections with other people. Because you're not, like, being held back by some social norm. You're like, really, like, what do I want in every moment?
Right, and I've never really been, so I don't know how it is not to say hi. I don't know how it is not to smile at someone. It would be very difficult for me not to do that. So.
Sure, but you don't have to ever worry, like, if I'm smiling at someone in this context, I have to say no. You know what I mean? Like, if some guy flirts with you on the street, you can be like, hey, what's going on, brother? And like really have a conversation with him.
Oh,
you
yes.
know?
Yes. And that's what you want to do. You want to get to meet people. If not, you should stay home.
Yes and no. Although I think sometimes people get like really hung up on, like, if you're on a dark alley and you make eye contact with a guy and you smile at him and he's like, hey, baby, and it has that kind of energy, like, sometimes even here, someone could have that kind of energy. Do you know what I mean? And not be able to say yes and not be able to say no. And if you can't say no, then you have to, like, avoid being nice to people before you can, like, really smile and connect with them, because sometimes you are scared that you won't be able to.
Right. But in that same dark alley, if you don't make eye contact, they already consider you prey. And they may not, after they look in your eyes, be able to use you in the way they would before you made eye contact. And you'll be able to state to them no, specifically. Where if you turn away and not see that person, then they may not consider you someone that they can respect. And I think we need to be more honest with each other and at least make eye contact, whether it's a smile or not. You may not feel like smiling. Don't smile if you don't.
Make the smile genuine or don't smile. That's the key.
Well, it's all about like really sharing your humanity with someone.
Oh, yes. Yes. Recognizing, sharing your humanity says, I recognize your humanity. And it makes other people able to actually connect with the fact that you are also a human. And it, our connection is more real, more flesh and blood, instead of this idea of another person. Once you've made contact, you actually have some feeling for them, even if it's just the recognition that they are another human being, and they can be hurt just like you. But you can also give them joy, just like you would receive joy.
We're talking with Lord Michael and Molly Bottom, and we are at the friendliest, most festive, most fabulous sex party in San Francisco. This is Kinky Salon. It's a beautiful sex party that's been going on for the last 10 years, run by Scott and Polly. So we've been talking with Molly about smiling and flirting and how you can really say yes because you're empowered to say no. She runs a Slut 101 class, and it's all about saying yes to your authentic self and yes to other people and how you relate with them. And so I wanted to talk with her about like how it is to say yes at a sex party and how being a slut also is about having good boundaries.
Having good boundaries is very, very important whenever you interact with anyone. Knowing what you can and cannot do is part of recognizing your authentic self. And that's where you need to begin, is knowing who you are so that you can actually know who you are bringing to that other person. If you don't know who you are going to have issues with saying no to someone else and with saying yes.
But I think it's really hard for, I think, women to always be clear about what they want and when to say yes and when to say no and when to, like, be shut down and cold when other people are trying to relate with them because they don't feel safe and they don't feel like they want to hurt someone's feelings or they're, do you know what I mean? Like, sometimes it's really hard to even know what you want. And, as you know, if sex is dirty and you're not supposed to think about it, then you don't think about what you want in terms of having sex. Or not, you know what I mean? You're just like, oh, I can't get turned on, right? And imagine a world where you can't get turned on the street, or you know what I mean? Like, or in a club, or when you're with anyone other than your pair-bonded heterosexual partner, you know?
Right. This is what society tells us. This is what we have learned over the ages, both men and women. Men are also just as afraid of consequences that are not real. Those consequences, a lot of them have been made up to make sure that you stay within certain boundaries created by your community. Make sure that your boundaries are yours and not those impressed upon previous history that no longer applies. The biggest thing is for women who have been used in an improper fashion, say even rape, when you come through therapy and realizing your own power after something, a situation like that, you realize that no, you didn't ask for it. No, there's no way you could have controlled that other person's behavior. Remembering that only you control what you are, who you are, and what you do in that moment. You can't go back and change a situation like that. But you can move forward free of a situation like that by remembering you don't control everything. You only control yourself, and the best way to control yourself is to know yourself and be your authentic self and share it, if you feel like sharing it, with who you decide to share it with.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I really think that people should come to a place of not feeling ashamed of sex, but being ashamed of abusive control. Do you know what I mean? Like, when someone else abuses their power and they, you know, force sex on someone, that's what should be shameful, not sex. And so you can really be open with sex and sexual energy and it be about presence in the moment and authenticity and connection. But you can't have a connection with someone else if you're trying to control their behavior in an abusive way. I mean, of course, what I love is you can control someone else's behavior in a loving way and have it be completely hot. You know, but it's all about consent.
Yes, it should be completely hot. And you should be consensual. You should talk about it. You should develop a relationship. For however long that relationship is going to last, be it a couple days or a couple hours or a lifetime, make sure that you bring yourself to the relationship and that you don't bring any abuse to it yourself. Not the past, and don't try to create any in the future by trying to control another person.
And it's all about being present in the moment and being your authentic self and owning your own feelings and not trying to control another person non-consensually. What I love is you can control another person, but it's really nice to be consensual about it, right?
Oh, yes. I'm terribly, very, very much happily controlled. I am owned by Lord Michael.
That's right. She's wearing this cute little collar. And do you wear this all the time? It looks like you wear it all the time. Do you
wear
it all the time?
I wear it all the time.
In the shower, no.
Yes.
In the shower, really?
Yes.
Oh.
It comes off only for cleaning.
Wow. How often do you clean it?
Well, when it's necessary, not very often.
No, right, right.
Because I can use it in
and
the
it's
shower.
So light and you don't ever, it doesn't ever bother you. Oh, wow. And you even have a small imprint of the lock on your skin because it's like this smooth surface. And it's like making, oh, interesting.
Yes. Yes, it has a big impact on me in many, many ways. It is very light because it's titanium, which allows me to travel to places like here, to travel to San Francisco and enjoy Kinky Salon.
Is there something about San... Well, okay. Is there something about... Well, yeah, I know. Okay.
Is there something? Yes, there's something. There's Monica. That's something.
I know. It's pretty fun to live in San Francisco and have, like, the opportunity to come to these kinds of parties. I also wanted to talk about submission. And is there something about submission and wearing a collar that makes you feel free?
Well, everything is about freedom for me. My life is an experience of freedom from anything that wishes to control me from the past and from myself, actually, from you know, thoughts that would keep me from being me. But the collar actually provides me a freedom in knowing that I am special, I belong. It's heartening to know that someone prizes you above everything else and decides that you are their number one cherished property. And I am a freaking wild slut. So being locked up is the only way to go.
That's fabulous. So let's talk about the foundation. It's foundationofsluts.org. Foundationofsluts.org, right?
Yes. Foundationofsluts.org that we've started to be able to provide the opportunity for us to take training across the country and maybe even further. So we can take Slut 101, Introduction to Slut, and Slut 123, Body of Slut, our new up-and-coming. Foundationofsluts.org, our organization, also hopes to soon provide training to certify sluts to train. It's called the Notch It Certification. So the organization helps us provide the basis financially and in an organized fashion to allow this to happen.
So you're creating a network of sluts.
Well, I think sluts already know how to network. I'm just allowing them the opportunity to share it in a fashion that is recognizable in the proper words. It's really hard to explain to people why you are slut, why you want to be slut. Even people who are like cuddle sluts. I love to cuddle. I'm going to die if I don't cuddle. And no one could pay me enough to keep me from cuddling. Yeah, how do you explain that to someone? How do you explain to someone that you're a total shoe slut? Slut is about many, many things.
Well, it's about making connection. And I wanted to mention some of the people that you wanted to thank that are part of your Foundation of Sluts. I remember you had this huge long list of all these other people who did all these wonderful things for you in your network. And of course, I don't have the list with me right now. But I wonder if you could remember any of them right now.
Oh, of course I can. Well, slut number 2, which is Miss Darla. Oh, baby. And Jack. Jack, thank you. He is our prime male slut. And thank you to theartofsins.com. Shanna Katz, who has her own website, shannakatz.com. Shanna runs a fantastic website. Sexuallyable.com addresses sexuality with disabled individuals, which is so terribly important because we have to remember that all of us somewhere in us have some kind of degree of disability. So making sure that we don't tread on anyone else's ability to actually be sexually active, we need to be aware of where we are personally.
Yeah, it's really important not to marginalize other people's sexuality. Like, everyone has a sexuality, even if it's asexuality, or if it's like, my sexuality is that I like to meditate with other people, or I like to flirt and make out, but I don't necessarily want to have sex, or, you know, sex is my meditation. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to relate with other people and share energy and, you know, make a sacred space.
Sex is the spirituality of life. It is what brings us our physical form. Without sex, you were not created. So you would not have that body to house your spirit. You have to honor that and the full connection of spirituality and sexuality together. Now, it doesn't mean you have to be sexually active in traditional, normal ways. You get to also decide what your sexuality and spirituality looks like in that combination in your own physical form.
That's right. And how sexuality is all about being present in the moment. And there are many sacred meditations that are all about being present in the moment and sharing a connection with another person and really connecting with the moment and your body. And isn't it interesting how if you're not connected with the moment and your body, it's so difficult to have an orgasm?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. It's not difficult for me. It's not difficult for me. I'm pretty well focused at that point.
Right. Well, you're really connected to your body and you're really connected to the moment. And in interesting ways, being a slut is about being in the moment and being your authentic self and being present with another person, being able to let your energy be open to them by knowing what you want and what you don't want.
Yes, and by leaving yesterday behind and everything that's attributed to everything previous to that and not making expectations of your partner or anyone you come in contact with. If you are making expectations of another being, you are basically saying, okay, I am giving my time, which is a valuable commodity, to spend with you, and I expect this in return. Get over it. You don't get anything for spending your time. If you don't like spending time with that person, don't do it. Find someone who you can spend time with. There are billions of people on this earth. Have fun.
Nice work, Molly, bringing it back to the importance of fun. That's Slut Notch, or Molly Bottom, and Lord Michael at Kinky Salon. Slut thanks also for Lee Harrington, PassionandSoul.com, and Nancy Ava Miller, Pervert, Notes from the Sexual Underground. Thanks for listening to Sexploration with Monica. And may everything in the new year bring you closer to funlightenment.